sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Bon là, on est rendu à épisode 163. Okay, I will lie to you folks. I'm debating between aging and self-acceptance, or nobody wants to grow old. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out as I go along. But today's poetry goes like this. It feels like something's missing, but I just don't know. It's like I'm not the same man that I was no more. And all these crazy places that I usually know are just not as exciting as they were before. I think about you constantly. It surprises me how I change. My friends are coming down on me, saying a player never changes the game. But those fellas live in Never Never Land, right next to Peter Pan, because nobody wants to grow old.
Message!
Those fellas live in Never Never Land. They'll never understand what it's like to be in love. Never Never Land, right next to Peter Pan, because nobody wants to grow old.
Message!
Those fellas live in Never Never Land. They'll never understand what it's like to be in love. Yeah, that deserved it. That deserved a very moving. Very moving, and I'll explain later. But for now, welcome. Bienvenue. Another episode of Shut the Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com. A.K.A. Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, I need to give you a heads up to you listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and weighs a red, black, and a red-blue flag. That means Gouge Bleu's up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to the question,
are you an outcast?
I also represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on Sunday, April 7, 2024. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right, it's plus 8 degrees in the nation's capital, specifically in the south side portion of the nation's capital, and it's not the temperature that's important, but it's the time. I'm kind of recording late. By late, I mean very close to my not curfew, but to my my bedtime. So if I sound like I'm rushing things, it's because I'm kind of rushing things. I'm not going to rush it. All right. Okay. Like I usually do for you new listeners, I like to, just to help you get familiarized with my show, I like to break down my episodes into three parts. I prefer to call them acts. Call them acts, if you will. Excuse me. The first act is the intro. Second act is using random thoughts. Last act is final thoughts. You got that? All right, cool. Pay attention because it's going to be on the test tomorrow. In the intro, so far, what I've done is I played the started out with the anthem. And usually the second part is I tell you the title of the episode, but since I'm undecided, it's between one of those two. It's likely gonna be age and self-acceptance. But it sounds a little corny, don't you think? Whatever. It's my goddamn podcast. My podcast. All right, I'll figure it out. Oh, second. Then after title, I recited some poetry. Now both the title and the poetry recited, or the lyrics that I read out, will relate to the final thought. So just to give you a little a taste of what to expect. Finally, a salutation, and I give you a sweet. And it was in the beginning, it's meant to be a warning on the kind of podcast you're listening to, especially white people who expect you to honor their fragility. Like, they don't tell you they expect you to honor their fragility, but they expect it. Yeah, we don't do that on this podcast, all right? You've been warned. I don't want to read an email about that shit. I mean, I'll read it. I'm just going to delete it. But, yeah. Okay. Another thing I like to do in the intro is point out some, let's say, death anniversary or birthday, death anniversary. In this case, the death anniversary. So what is it I mentioned was April 7th, and this week we recognize or paid homage to the death anniversary of Martin Luther King. April 4th. How's it go? Yeah, April 4th. It was 56 years ago. 56 years from April 4th, civil rights movement leader Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. Gone but not forgotten. Rest in power. Links will be in the show notes. Yeah. Okay, some additional details here. Did you know Martin Luther King Jr.'s mother and his brother were also murdered? Damn. This fucking world, eh? Damn. Anyways, yeah. All right. It's hard to stay positive. Another thing I like to do in the intro, I got to remind myself that I'm holding hands with you listeners. Another thing I like to do in the intro before I end this portion is share some quotes. And the first quote is by George Bernard Shaw. It goes, "You don't stop laughing when you grow old. You grow old when you stop laughing." Amen, brother. Amen. Okay. Last quote is from Madame Maya Angelou. And the quote goes, "Most people don't grow up." Interesting. I'm going to repeat that. "Most people don't grow up. Most people age. They find parking spaces, honor their credit card, get married, have children, and call that maturity. What that is aging." Deep. All right. Yeah. That quote was going to relate to the final thought. But for now, let's jump to news and random thoughts. And then, let's get the show going. All right. Y'all ready? Y'all motherfuckers ready? Get off your seat. All right, okay, let's do this. I'm trying to... This is me trying to hype shit up. All right, let's go. Hey, all right, okay, now I'm feeling the heat. All right, okay. Can you feel the heat? Can you feel the heat? Oh, whoa.
I'm Jamaican Chinese.
Hold on a second. All right, okay. Now, first item on the news and random thought. Oh my God, that's a cute dog. Focus me. Okay. Again, I'm not diagnosed with ADHD, but I likely have it. All right, now I'm going to play this clip, and it's called, as you heard it already, it goes, it's something that I saw on TikTok, and it reminded me of why I appreciate TikTok. So here we go. All right, let's play this game. Boom.
I'm Jamaican Chinese. Of course, everybody thinks I'm in here, Mr. Chin.
But Kyle.
No, it's cool, man.
I'm Jamaican Chinese. Obviously, people think me eat dog. See lunch? See dinner?
Putting out two dogs.
I'm Jamaican Chinese. Of course, everybody thinks I have a wholesale.
Yeah, who is Santa Claus?
I'm Jamaican Chinese. Of course, everyone thinks I drive a minibus.
I'm Jamaican Chinese. Obviously, everybody thinks I know Chinese.
Joseph.
want some chicken?
I'm Chinese Jamaican. Of course, everybody thinks I know martial arts.
China man.
sorry.
I'm Jamaican Chinese. Of course, everybody thinks I have a big family.
When I was in Jamaica for a vacation, I remember driving by this garage, and this Asian dude was in front. Now, I knew better than to be like, oh my God, oh my God, because I hang out, my barbershop, I live in Ottawa, man. And the demographic, well, the demographic growing up was us Caribbean folks, the diaspora, Caribbean diaspora, and black folks from the motherland. Nope, not a single black Canadian. I mean, like actual black Canadian. I'm talking like family been here for generations, black Canadian. I mean, I did know one guy. But at the time, I didn't know he was black Canadian. Sorry, I'm laughing. I was about to say, should have known, man. I do love to scrap. Sorry, that's really not a stereotype. But okay. Oh my God, focus, B. Okay, the reason why I appreciate this clip about Jamaican Chinese, I'm Jamaican Chinese, and it's something that I appreciate about TikTok, and it angers me that these boomers, these old heads in the United States are trying to ban TikTok. Well, ban or make TikTok difficult to prosper in their country. One thing TikTok has done well, fucking representation. I'm talking people I did not think existed. When I first logged on to TikTok, okay, I gotta tell you, the algorithm is kind of scary how it figures out how when I first logged on to TikTok, I don't know how TikTok figured it out, but the first thing they started presenting was a bunch of, again, I'm going to start by saying I hate the word woke, but woke white folks, specifically, not woke Asian, Middle Eastern, no, white folks who were speaking intelligently about race, about concept of race. White people I'm not used to dealing with. Not the white people who, hey, all lives matter. No. White people could speak about who could speak about the struggles, who could make an intelligent. You can tell they read some Ta-Nehisi Coates. Them kind of white people. Alec Baldwin reading type white people. They figured it out. So TikTok just kept presenting that shit. And I was pretending like, yeah, no big deal. But deep down inside, I'm like, I didn't think you. It's sorry. Think of how you act when you see a white person dance, right? Okay, for me, a woke white person. I'm not woke about environmental shit and stuff like that, but I mean about race. For me, that's like kaplowy. My mind exploded. So TikTok kept flooding me with posts from people like that. And then, God bless TikTok, then big booty chicks. Then it went from big booty, whatever. Now it's variety, it's stuff like that. But my point is, something I like about TikTok is I feel like it brings me, makes me more aware of the human family. For instance, I should be on TikTok. I need to be on TikTok. Part of this podcast is me being something, someone that's not advertised on television. On television, when they show black people, it's a specific image. It's usually drug. How did Tom Macy say? He goes, this society doesn't give a fuck about me unless I'm hanging from a basketball rim or a tree. You know what I mean? Like that demographic of black people. Not black person doing normal shit, saving the world like Black Panther. No. Shit like that did not exist. A black person who could dance, if he was in a movie, if it was a scientific movie, he was like comedy relief, needed to be saved by a white person. You know, it was always bullshit. It was always, what's worse by it is I bought into those images. It got to a point where, I remembered how, lately, I've been going on walks and seeing black people with pets. Now, I got to remind you, I got to explain that. I live in a city where the my demographic of, there's not a lot of black people. It's predominantly white. I mean, it's, I mean, the black population is increasing, but growing up, fuck, I was the one black person in the picture, you know? So even I, the only, I mean, sure, I had relatives, but I bought into the image of, even though I had relatives, I'm familiar with black people, I was a black person. I bought into the images fed by, from mainstream television was my source, which is why, which is why I remember going to New York, freaking the fuck out, only to realize that I'm surrounded by human beings. Oh, wow. The truth is the rule in any bad neighborhood is don't start nothing, won't be nothing. As long as you respect that, yeah, you should be okay. Unless it's a bad day. But, okay, again, getting back to TikTok. Again, this clip just reminded me on how TikTok does a great job on showing you images that you are not used to seeing about human beings. You know what? While I'm doing this, I'm going to give a shout out to and credit to the black guy who tips. Because in a way, before TikTok, I remember their podcast was, when I first discovered their podcast, it was mainly about comedy. But then I started to, oh shit, yeah, we got politics in common. But it was, okay, the first thing, and it's one of those conversations I would love to have with, would love to tell Rod and Karen, that they're the hosts of Blackout Tips. Probably the biggest breakthrough listening to their podcast, I remember how they were a couple, right? They started out as a couple. And I had consumed 4 episodes. You know what my biggest shock was? I was like, hey, how come those two aren't fighting? How come she hasn't called him a nigga? How come he hasn't bragged about the chicks that he has on the side while she's off the mic? You know, why? Like it's embarrassing to say. I wasn't used on seeing a healthy black couple. I was used on seeing the usual Black History Month, black couples stick together, but a healthy relationship, a black couple in a healthy relationship. Uh-uh. Nope. I'm used to defective, fucked up relationships. Seeing that, and instead of like, hey, you guys are full of shit, instead of like calling, writing in and be like, yeah, what's up with this relationship? Which, by the way, people have done that to them. They've seen the way they behave. They've been like, hey, how come you're being too soft? How come you're being too understanding? How come she's being this and that and whatever? And the response was usually like, yo, it's not us. It's you. So for me, I remember by the 4th episode, it hit me. I'm realizing that, okay, you know what? Turns out, what I thought I understood about relationship, I need to reevaluate my understanding of relationship. But yeah, seeing them work as a couple is not an image you usually see on your Hollywood lights to show. They're just a normal couple. They're not like kissy kissy and shit like that. No, you can tell it's a partnership. That podcast is like a plane, and those two are co-pilots. Sure, it's probably Rod's idea because he's the black guy in the picture. But you can tell, it's a beautiful, okay, let me put it this way. I hate Hallmark cards. I'm not big onto rom-coms. I'm not big on, oh my God, they're a beautiful couple just because they're kissing. To me, I love seeing those two interact and how they help each other, how they complement each other, how they help each other out. How they work together, producing a podcast. It's fucking inspiring. Which, by the way, the great couples aren't the ones that are like, you know, say hi to each other every time, you know, are beautiful together on Valentine's Day. No, the best couples are the ones that inspire you. Either to be in a relationship or just to be a better person. That's what good couples are supposed to do. They inspire others to, healthy couples are the ones that inspire you. Anyway, okay, getting back to TikTok. Yeah, I'm. What gets me about this whole TikTok debate in the United States is, I'm surprised these people haven't tried, like, used the free market methodology method mindset and competed against TikTok, as opposed to having the government jump in. Like, yeah, man, shame on Elon, Zuckerberg, for having the government step in to, like, yeah, man, fuck that. You gotta get them niggas shut down. We can't handle that. Look, we can't all be stealing information. Shit. No one lives on principles anymore. Sorry, I'm getting a little disappointed. What was I saying? Yeah. I'm disappointed that instead of dealing with the competition, these guys are having the government jump in to try to shut down TikTok. I mean, security, this, whatever. You know, no, I'm not even going to entertain that. But it does bother me. Whatever. It kills me. Yeah, TikTok seems to show images that go outside of what's acceptable by white supremacy. I think in the United States / North America, I'm including Canada, they need, in order for this country to remain, they need to keep feeding us these images of black people are this way, white people are that way. And you're not meant to get along. I mean, you get along, yeah, during Martin Luther King's birthday, but get along, like, you know, don't call him nigger, but, you know, let's keep racism up and going. Holy fuck. let's keep the boot on their chest. White people, come on. Anyway, shout out this to say, shout out to TikTok, and shout out to Jamaican Chinese. You know what? Shout out to all the demographics out there that are not represented. And I say this as a black Canadian who's used on, well, now it's accepted, but I remember growing up and the word black and Canadian didn't go together. Technically they didn't, but that's a longer story. Because when I grew up, I used to separate my black and my Canadian identity. The two never, whatever. But yeah, growing up, telling people I was black Canadian is equivalent to telling them that I'm a black German, black Russian, black Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, you know what I mean? It's two nationalities you're not used on being together. Sorry, I got distracted. Someone in the comment section said, damn, Mr. Chin is fine. It's fine. Yeah, but he's also funny. I had never realized Jamaican Chinese was a thing until I watched the series Black Cake. Interesting. Yeah, I was aware, I think what I, again, I went to my barbershop, it was all Caribbean folks, and yeah, they would, I guess Toronto, it would have been, I would have known that, but okay, I was aware that there was Jamaican Chinese, just never interacted with one. Did I come out like, hey, those people, did I just those people them? Did I just other them? I've never interacted with an actual Jamaican Chinese person. This video is as close as I could get. But it's oh, cool. And it would make sense. You know, I remember in Haiti, of course, yeah, there's a Jewish dude there, richest dude on the islands, this a Jewish guy. I think he came in, he's there since I think he's one of those people who came over during World War II. Who exiled, is the word exile? But yeah, found asylum in Haiti. My point is, even in Haiti, there's different nationality. But they just happen to be a minority. But okay, all right. Woo, oh my God. My first topics are always the longest one. I wonder if it's because I'm nervous, but okay. All right. Let's jump to the next one. Again, another TikTok video. And this one, I'm going to let it play and then share my thoughts after. So here we go. I'll tell you what, the title is Misogyny and Homophobia in Activism. Well, in black activism. Here we go.
When somebody like me, somebody like you, when one of these cisgender men, when we get shot dead in the street, guess who's not on the front lines? The Hotep's not out there organizing. Black women and gay men are running. So if you sit here and tell me that you can't follow leadership from a gay man or a black woman, to be honest, Frank, you pussy. Because at the end of the day, how you can't listen to somebody? No, give me a second. No, give me a second. Give me a second. Give me a second. Because if you can't take somebody who's way more, far more calculated to run this, all because of who they decide to sex with, I'm worried about who you're trying to have sex with. What is your issue? If they gay, that has nothing to do with you. If they a woman, that has nothing to do with you. Let them leave. They trying to make sure we not shot no more. You not doing it. I can't do it. You get what I'm saying? A lot of us can't do it. Why? Because we in jail. We up. If we come into contact with the police, we going to jail. So guess what? No, hold on. So guess what happened? So when they out here and they putting their motherfucking lives on the line, when they really dying, there's really an astronomical number of black women dead for no reason, popping up dead. A number of gay trans people dying. Guess what color they are? They black. So us saying, oh, I can't get behind that because you gay. Fuck out of you. Okay. Get behind them and shut up or stay at home.
Lead, follow, or get the fuck out the way. Word, man. You know what's wild is how I grew up with, when I got into high school, I met a group of, the founder was a dude from Brooklyn, and his wife was Jamaican. She was Jamaican-Canadian, and they had another, I'm not going to say names, but they had another person in there, Trinidadian woman, went to Howard, came to Ottawa. But the three came together and created this, what do we call it? A community / group called Access, all right? And it stood for African Canadian Community Education. Forget what the S was for. Was it service? But the point in there was to get young people like me to learn about, to A, be around other black people, which fucking helped. B, learn about black culture, your blackness. Granted, it was through the lens of a black American. Not that it's not bad, but I'm just acknowledging the fact that it was through the eyes of a black American. But it was still great. What I didn't realize, again, because I was new to him, right? That black dude who was running it, cool dude and everything, but he wasn't on that Hotep shit. I didn't realize it until now, until I became an adult. He didn't express it. Maybe I was too young to see it. But yeah, I didn't see any toxic shit on his part. But it's only later growing up that I realized that, you a Hotep dude. You own that Hotep shit. Where I'm going with this is through them, my blackness had probably a patriarchal angle to it. So I believed in the whole, yes, our next leader, we're waiting for our leader, a new black leader to show up. And when we said black leader, we assumed cisgender dude. Sure, maybe there'll be another Harriet Tubman, but come on. Who the fuck are we kidding? It's going to be another Malcolm X. It's going to be another Martin Luther King with a lot of side chicks. But the next black leader was... I'm trying to make a point. My point is... Something happened with me that I went through this phase where I was angry with men. I was angry with masculinity. I was angry with the concept of masculinity. I was angry at patriarchal. I was angry at all my male role models. Because I realized that all of them, without exception, were all full of shit. Like this image, this grandiose, this great men that they made themselves out to be, and then I'm like, oh, it was all smoke and mirrors. You guys are all, you niggas ain't trying to be real. You're trying to live up to this image, which some of this image was built by fucking white folks, by the Europeans. Concepts that they brought from Europe and enforced it on us. And this is where the homophobia came from, the misogyny came from. Yeah, the women in the group, yeah, you were liberated, but who the fuck we kidding? The men stay in the driver's seat. Okay. I'm struggling to make a point in this, but this is just freestyle thought going on. But I guess what I'm getting at is It took me a while. Maybe it was the movie by Ava DuVernay. Is it Ava DuVernay? The movie Selma that opened my eyes to it. But Selma, the focus on Selma was, let me make sure that it's Ava DuVernay. The focus on Selma was, well, not just to talk about how Martin Luther King organized the Selma civil rights, legally desegregated self discrimination, rampant areas. How we organized that march. It was also there was a focus on the contribution by women in the struggle. And it got me realizing as I'm going through my rage, my hatred against masculinity, the concept of masculinity, that, you know what? I've been putting too much faith in cis hetero male leadership. What I'm getting at is when we get to the promised land, I'm going to talk, whatever. The idea that the person who leads us to the promised land may not be a cis hetero male. It might be a woman. It might be a gay person, trans woman, trans man. It might be a member of the LGBTQ community, of the Black LGBTQ LGBTQ, was it IA plus community. Right now, we don't have that respect for those two groups. Right now, there's an article that was written about an article. There was a post think piece that was written in, very, very smart, very smart brothers? Is that what they were called? But whatever, about how Black men are the cis hetero Black men are like the white people, are the white males of Black people. Meaning we can't see past our privilege. It's interesting how I was going through this phase where I was like questioning this identity, this standard I was supposed to live up to. And it was then that I was able to question. It's like, you know what? No, I can see it. I can see how we ain't shit. I can see how sometimes we need to take a back seat. I can see how sometimes we're the ones who needs to shut the fuck up and just follow and let someone lead. Look, we got people in the struggle. Brothers and sisters and in between in the struggle who are like standing up for us, standing on the front line, taking them having them bullets come at them more than they're coming at me, and have to hide part of their identity because they're not hetero males. I don't know, it bothers me, man. Excuse me, air in this room is dry. So what I'm saying is, it bothers me that, I guess there was a time where I thought I was done with the pro-Black movement, mainly because pro-Black movie was just Hotep shit. And I'm realizing, that's not it. It's not the pro-Black movement I'm over. I'm over with the stubborn, the Hoteps. I'm being vague, but it's the only word I could come up with. The Hoteps in the group, the male Hoteps, and the women who are trying to have kids with them, who support that notion of, like, there are Black people who act like, yo, this whole gay shit came from Europe. No, stupid. We don't, as far as we know, like I know in indigenous cultures, in some indigenous cultures, okay, in indigenous culture, how they have the respect, acknowledge, non-binary, like a two-spirit, I think that's the word they use, two-spirited, like they respect that. It's not something to be suppressed. To be honest with you, I would not be surprised if African society pre-slavery had shit like that. Open-minded. It's a way to think. Look, I'm a strong believer that I have this fantasy when I think of the Starship Enterprise. A future with, a future where human beings finally learn to respect each other. Regardless of their background, regardless of their identity, religion, whatever the fuck. I look forward to that time, right? And it's when we make that advancement is what's going to allow us to make shit like figure out how to match, how to travel to the speed of light. Figure out what's at the end. I think that's when our scientific, our breakthroughs will happen. Once we figure that shit out, how to work, how to respect each other's opinion, how to work with each other, all of us. Am I preaching? That was not my intention. Anyway, but I got to tell you, that brother, that passionate brother, the way he was speaking, let me read the caption because I'm not sure what his name is. He goes, there's an astronomical amount of black women dead for no reason. A number of gay, trans people dying. Guess what color they are? Black. At Mouse for Grapevine TV, circa 2016. Oh, this was 2016. Excuse me. Still such a powerful moment. This is what allyship and awareness looks like. We're up. There's a concerted effort to keep us divided. We are divided. We are stronger together, y'all. Amen. Black is black. Bottom line, yeah, black is black. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, black is black. And on this podcast, when I talk, when I think of the allies, I've been saying like the black man's allies, the black woman. What I meant to say is the greatest ally to black people has been black women and black people from the LGBTQIA plus community. They've been holding it down while having to keep their mouth shut, while having to keep shut about who they really are to not piss off the other. Anyway, yeah. So it gets me. Needless to say, on this podcast, I respect true allyship. And you're not an ally unless you're taking, unless you're in the trenches with me with bullets coming in your direction. Sorry, I'm laughing at the people on the sideline who are like, I'm an ally. No, you're not. You're a spectator. All right, lead, follow. Yeah, okay, lead, follow, or shut the fuck up. That's all I'm going to say. Lead, follow, or shut the fuck up. Either you have a solution or you don't. Either you're part of the problem, either you're part of the solution, or you're part of the problem. There we go. Simple as that. Okay. All right. Hey, let me look at the time, okay, because I'm trying to keep it short. Okay, this time, I'm not freestyling, but it's kind of freestyling. First, I'm going to start off with, I just finished listening to, actually, I was in the middle of, I'm listening to the audiobook, Three Body Problems. And so far the audiobook is matching a lot the TV show. Granted, there's more characters, but what's fascinating is all the characters in the book are all Chinese, not Jamaican Chinese, but all Chinese. And for me, it's fascinating mainly because I'm used to consuming American media where, you know, the heroes are a whole bunch of white people and maybe one black person, or maybe one Asian, or maybe one, you know what I mean, like a token non-white person. All right, maybe you can beatbox your way. You can beatbox your way into a solution, and kill these Klingons. Yeah. Okay. Oh my God. Yeah. So I'm reading the book, but I have no comments to bring up except for that. But what's interrupting my flow of the book? Man, it's a good book. I was all into it. Then I remember that. Well, actually, in this order, J. Cole had an album, and then Beyonce has an album. So I was interrupted by listening to Beyonce's album. And I'm going to say, look. I don't think it's a country album only because I don't usually like country music. I'm lying. Okay, yeah, no. When I'm thinking of stereotypical country, I'm thinking of ding, 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 ding. You know what I mean? Like shit. Like, I'm waiting for the N-word to get dropped. But Beyonce's album, honestly, it's something the music, I don't say industry, but us music fans needed. It's good music. That's what I'm trying to say. If the genre is country, then fuck, turns out I'm into country. But I know there's a lot that there's concept, there's layers to this album that I need to dig into. But in terms of just, look, I had that shit on play, and it helps too while I was high, listening to it, enjoying it. You know, this is what I would say. Yeah, enjoying it, just woman's an artist. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not like, that's what it is. It's like, I feel like I'm going to sound like the old guy. Like, back in the old days, no one's working on a classic. I feel like, yo, I'm trying to make music that's going to last like Michael Jackson's Thriller album. I feel like some effort would put into this song. She didn't make an album just for the sake of making an album. There was like some good music in there. Anyway, so I enjoyed listening to it. The one thing I do have listened to it reminded me of, I miss the days of, fuck, nostalgia here. I don't usually do this, but I miss the old days of buying a tape or buying a CD. Usually I take the bus or maybe in my car, right? But if it's in my bus, putting that CD or tape in my Walkman or CD player and the bus ride home or whatever, like there was enough time for me to consume the whole album. Two things. One is having that moment, like it was, I don't say it was an event, but I'm going to say it was an event, consuming that album. And I rarely hit skip, you know, even if I didn't like the song, I would just listen to it and hate the artist for it. Oh, no, I used to hate songs. I only had one good album, but one good song on the album. But that's a different story. But I miss taking the time to listen, being able to take my time to listen to an album. Problem with Cowboy Carter's album is I was like, fuck, I want to go back to reading my book. But yeah. Another thing I miss is having the time to process the album before I heard other people's opinion about it. This information age, you know, this is probably the first time I complain about the information age, or maybe I'm just getting old, which, by the way, ties into the final thought. How, like, before I heard, like, I had completely forgot Beyoncé had a new album out. But what I was aware of was all the criticism about her album, everyone had to open their goddamn mouth with a motherfucking opinion. Like, that's what I was flooded with. Oh, it's not really country. It's not this and blah, blah. Like, I got caught up in all that shit and completely forgot to, oh, Beyoncé has a new album, which is exactly what happened with J. Cole's album. So what's interesting with J. Cole is J. Cole, I got caught up in all the criticism about the album, about him. It didn't help that, yo, that okay, it's funny. That shot Kendrick took at J. Cole, in my eyes, yeah, it did hurt him. In a sense that J. Cole was like native tongue level of hip hop. Like, yo, my shit is conscious. It's not just native tongue, but conscious. I'm not trying to be like these other rap stars, like money holes and rims, shit like that. No, there's value. Like, my rhymes could be a poem. But when Kendrick took that shot at him, after I understood that shot, I'm like, oh, wait. So J. Cole's just another, oh, is that why he's been hanging out with Drake? He's just a, like he put a crack in his image. So in his image. So I remember, I guess what I'm saying is that shot that Kendrick took at J. Cole helps me understand. I think I'm starting to understand what they mean by cancel culture. Because by the time he was done, I was like, okay, so what you're saying is J. Cole's just another one of those bros? Ah, fuck that. I'm done with that shit. He's a problematic rapper. He's been faking this whole conscious hip hop. I'm a rapper with deep thoughts. It's all been a fake. It's all shit he did just to get chicks. So in a way, it's like, I was ignoring the alerts that, hey, he's got a new album. I thought it was a diss track, might delete later. The whole time I thought it was a diss response to Kendrick Lamar. So finally, I'm like, oh, he's got a whole album out. And when I hit that first track, and J. Cole likes to do that with his first track, is remind you about his lyrical skills. He did one of those things. I'm like, oh, shit. Okay. Uncanceled. My point is, J. Cole can rap. I'm a fan of his, fan of his rap style. He nearly made, J. Cole can rap, but his ability to pick, he's like Nas in that way. His ability to pick some good beats, it's like, no offense to you J. Cole fans, to your hardcore J. Cole fans. Yeah, no, J. Cole, in his case is, when he makes a rap song that I like, I enjoy it. But when I don't like it, it's like, whatever. But it's impactful. Pac was a bit like that. Okay, not to put him on the same level, but Pac sometimes had the tracks that I like, I loved them. If I didn't like them, I would just, skip. So J. Cole, that's a similarity between the two. Now Kendrick is similar like that, but sometimes he's got more. It's interesting. I'm trying to compare. Drake is off the list. Drake is just entertain. Look, Drake has two things going. He's a Canadian rapper. High five. You accomplished something that none of us old heads thought that was possible. He gets that. And two, but his music is like distraction music. Like, I don't look for any wisdom or any deep thoughts in. Okay, except for that one song. oh my God. Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is when it comes to conscious shit, I don't put Drake and on the same level as J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar. Let me put it this way. This is very likely, I'm more likely to make an episode title out of a song from J. Cole or Kendrick than I am by Drake. Now, you know what? I need to go for my history. There's a chance I might be contradicting myself. All right, getting back. Okay, so what's interesting? Okay, so the thing with J. Cole is there's a thought that I was trying to formulate about his album. Yeah, okay, I said the noise from social media, and I guess it's social media was made it difficult for me to realize that, he's got a new album out. Let me take the time to listen to it. Anyways, now there is a song that J. Cole made, and it's problematic. It's been analyzed. He says, basically, I think it was meant to be a diss to Kendrick, and he was trying to call him, I'm putting in quotation, pussy, i.e., by the definition, if you're a member of the cult of masculinity, being called the pussy is not a good thing. It's up there with being called the sinner for Christians, but more insulting. Blasphemy. Yeah, it's blasphemous to be called the pussy. It's an insult. It's supposed to be an insult. And it's an attack on his masculinity as his image, meaning you can take your free lunch from whatever. But so in the process of calling Kendrick a quote-unquote pussy, he has to add a transphobic line in there, and he puts it out as clever. Now, the people who listen to Drake will find that, oh, shit, that shit was clever. I'm not going to repeat the verse. It's very popular. But I do remember listening to it and not listening to it, but listening to the arguments made about it. And it has me thinking on whether is the debate on whether what he said was wrong or what he said was transphobic. Like, is it wrong to be transphobic to say, no, not just to be, not wrong to be transphobic. Is it wrong to say transphobic shit? Now I'm not saying that, I'm trying to say transphobic shit. It's more, someone said it out like that. It's more, J. Cole made that line, but does that mean he doesn't believe that black trans lives matter? Is that what that means? Or is he, I don't know. I guess, you know what? It's got me wanting to reevaluate my understanding of who is J. Cole. Because J. Cole started out as that smart rapper, as that, and not just smart because he agrees with everything that I say, but he's just enlightened. I could like there's I'm gonna play his shit and take away. So when he made that song Love Yours, that was a powerful, wise song. Okay, not smart, wise rapper. That's what I'm trying to say. But now I'm like, I'm questioning him. I'm questioning, like, is he, or maybe he's just a great rapper who's also insecure. Yeah, him and Drake doesn't make sense to me. But then again, what do I know about this industry? You know, okay, one last point, and this could have been easily a final thought. The criticism that the criticism, both justified and unjustified criticism that J. Cole has been getting, let's go with justified, right, has made me wonder. I think maybe I'm the one who doesn't understand the concept of criticism. I mean, yeah, you know what? Okay, no, that's going to go into a different path. I'm just going to leave it at that. It's like, no one's perfect. So it's normal for him to be, I think it's something that, what's his name? Another someone that I follow on Twitter. What's his name? I mentioned his name before. Very smart brother. If you can't tell, I'm a fan of smart black men, smart black people, articulate black people who can communicate ideas. Remind me that. Oh shit. Okay, sorry. Holy shit. Okay. I'm debating on sharing this tweet. Sorry, I'm loading Twitter because I'm trying to remember the name of this person I'm talking about. And I'm watching a video of people throwing eggs at this woman. Holy fuck, yeah, I'm going to save this for later. See what that's about. What the fuck did she do? Hold on a second. Okay. The name of the person I'm trying to remember. I'll tell you what, I'll put it in the show. It's a conversation in the show note that made me, it just had me thinking. Oh, is this it? Nope. Oh, I didn't respond to it. Oh, okay, right. It's in my like section. Oh, your likes are publicly visible. Upgrade to hide your like tabs. Really? Oh, subscribe to premium? You asshole. Okay. All right, focus, B. Back to the program. The name of the content creator, Smart Brother, who was having a debate about, not debate, but trying to explain J. Cole's problematic transphobic line. His name is, damn, I like a lot of shit on on Twitter. Oh my God. Okay, got it. His name is, all right, okay. Sumcho. Of course I'm going to mispronounce his name. Sumcho? We atcha. Let me see what he says. You guys know who he is, but, you know, Brother Zerd. How do you pronounce his name?
In conclusion,
Sonam
Cho's presence.
Oh, okay. Sonam Cho. Oh, Sonam Cho. All right, okay. The conversation he was having with someone who was following him / annoying him about, what did he say? He goes, anyway, whatever. And he was just calling on people's bullshit who were trying to say that his line wasn't transphobic. And he was making, I guess, there's something he was saying about, look, man, I'm not shitting on this human being. I'm holding him accountable. He said some fuck shit, and I'm calling it out. And he's being surrounded by people acting like, oh, what? So what you're saying, we should crucify him? But it also has me, his interaction with the people has me questioning, maybe I'm the one who needs to reevaluate my understanding of criticism. But you know what? That's a longer conversation. And it's bad enough. Yeah, I'd rather just get to my final thought. Try to limit my deep thoughts to one thought per episode. So let's just jump to, okay, let's just say, hey, let me just conclude with, yes, enjoy Beyonce's new album. J. Cole's album was like, yeah, it's all right. It's not bad, but I enjoyed it. You know, he reminded me why I had high regards for him as a rapper. But even though the possibility has arisen that, you know, he might be a fuckboy. All right, so I'll give him time to explain himself, which he will. I intend he will. So with that said, let's jump to final thoughts and call this and then finally put this podcast to bed. All right, let's go. But podcast, I meant this episode to bed. All right, so let's go. Let's go. All right, final thought. Final thought. What's interesting is how today's final thought came to me last minute. It came to me last night. Nah, let me be honest. Yeah, while noticing an article by the thought goes here. Let me just get my notes together first. Cowboy Carter talked about that already. J. Cole. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. So first, that's first. The title of today's episode comes from an article. The idea, the inspiration for this final thought is an article titled by Inc.com, and it's titled, "With Just Three Words, Opera Taught a Powerful Lesson in Aging and Self-Acceptance." Okay? Now, the poetry, the verse that I read, comes from a song by Life Jennings, Never Never Land. Okay, and I feel like what he says, Life Jennings says in that song, relates to what I read in that article. Okay, so that's what's up with today's title, and also why. So I'm either going to take aging and acceptance is something that I read from the article by about Oprah, and No One Wants to Grow Old is the message that kept playing, is the song by Life Jennings, and it's a song that kept playing in my head while reading this article. This is my way of trying to explain why I'm in the, I can't make a decision between what title to pick, but I'll figure it out by the time I publish this episode, which is not really your problem. Okay. Now I'll just jump to the article and say, first I'm going to make a confession. I'm 49, and I've been struggling with this old age shit. I mean, like, enough to make it a conversation with my therapist. And reading this article made me realize why I struggle with this old age shit. Because I am on uncharted territory. Growing up, I always had an image to look up to or something to look at to say, this is where I should be doing. Like, I had some kind of reference. Now, most of the time they were bullshit, but at least I had some kind of reference. Now, as an older person, not just in his 30s, in his 40s, it's been kind of depressing, because I associated aging with depression, aging with death, aging with losing shit. You're going to lose your memory. You lose your ability. You know, you can't fuck. Like, probably one of the mistakes that I made as a teenager is not finding other things that I enjoy doing besides hitting the clubs, porn, you know, partying bullshit. You know, shout out, this white guy actually kind of warned me, but I was too young to understand, because he was into outdoors activities. And I was joking. He was trying to encourage me to, you know, do like camping and shit like that. And I'm like, no, man, I'm a city boy. And a white dude was trying to drop some wisdom on me, and I wasn't hearing it at the time. So I guess I'm reaching an age where I have to redefine myself, allow me to reintroduce myself. Anyway, so when I got to this article, and she said, with three words, Oprah taught a powerful lesson about aging, I was looking for an answer to my question. How do you do it, Oprah? How exactly do you make aging an enjoyable part of life? And there's two takeaways that I got from the article. I'll let you read the article. It's a bit longer than that, but there's two things that struck to me. The first one, the three words, by the way, are, you are enough. Now, I won't lie, that shit was not really effective on me, because I've heard that already, you are enough. That's like some affirmation. That's like, yeah, but what does that really mean? You are enough. I mean, I know what it means, but it just didn't, it wasn't as impactful as I get money, money I got, you know what I mean? But the second one, I think, is probably the most important one that I got from the article is part of what made Oprah's journey into aging, I would say, easier, more enjoyable, is she had a role model, someone to look up to mimic, to help her out, and that was Maya Angelou. Now, yeah, Maya Angelou. And Maya Angelou, which is, by the way, which is why I read one of her quotes earlier on about aging, the idea of Maya Angelou and presented to her was the perfect model of, okay, you're going to get old. Sure, you're going to lose things, but this is what you're going to gain. I don't have anyone like that. You know, everyone, for the most part, I'm going to say 99% of the people in my circle, even my ex-circles, even the good golly Christians, all of them, when it comes to aging, all of them are shitty. For them, aging sucks. They won't tell you that, especially they will tell you, you know, especially if they have kids or a family. All that is someone they can hide behind to hide their, you know, fuck, I hate this fact that I'm getting old. I hate that I can't hit the clubs anymore. I hate that I can't fuck like I used to. I should have hit the gym. I'm going to die alone. Anyway, yeah. I'm surrounded by people who are like, who just bitch about getting older. It's nothing but complaints. Okay, before I go into, I got to bring up the fact that the reason I'm speaking about aging is because the words aging is self-acceptance. It became a new idea for me. I didn't know those two words could go together. I didn't know those words. Yeah, I did. And I guess the solution to my problem, to my depression about getting older, is the fact that, hey, there's still room for self-acceptance. You just let it go, for sure. Things you can't do, now let's focus. Let's be grateful on the shit that you can do. Now, getting back to why it was so difficult for me to understand that aging and self-acceptance could go together. And I remember telling this to a friend. They were like, duh, easy idea, you know, whatever. It bothers me. It bothers me because there's a lot of saying. I was looking for other quotes to share, right, about aging. It's a whole bunch of, and the whole article is about, yeah, come on, man. Let's give these old people something to be happy about. A lot of these old people, basically, is you're supposed to be happy. You're supposed to find beauty in being in getting old. Meanwhile, fucking TV is telling, holy shit, the debate between Joe Biden and it's kind of fucked up that the leader of the first world is like an old fuck. I get it. I get that, but kind of looks like he could do the job. Kind of looks like he still got juice. He's still able to be like, hey, you're signing this shit. Like, when he dies, it's going to be a significant, it's going to be a great loss. Like, Joe Biden still has some fight in him. That's what I'm trying to say. But people want to act like, nah, he's old. Fuck that. He's done, man. Put him on a rock and fucking ship him to his death. Put him out of his misery. He's like an old dog. Yeah, I guess the society sucks like that. It's like, old, you're useless to us. You're just an inconvenience to us. Granted, a lot of you elders, yeah, are kind of useless with your with your old habits. And y'all need Jesus. Anyway, but anyway, okay, so getting back to aging and right. Okay, I was getting back to dissing all my role. You know who else is a shitty example of aging? All you motherfuckers who won't stop talking about the old days, who say shit like, yeah, oh, by today's standards, oh man, you couldn't make this joke today. Or Eddie Murphy, holy shit, he couldn't make those same jokes today. People are too pussy. Those motherfuckers. Like, Chappelle is a fucking example of it. Oh, fuck, this society's gotten too soft. No, it's changed. It fucking evolved, motherfucker. It's going to a phase that You won't be, you're going to fucking die. They're heading somewhere that you'll be croaked in. No one will be talking about you. Sorry. I'm not trying to say no one's going to be talking about Chappelle after he dies. But I'm trying to say that society's changing. Embrace that. It's going in a direction that you won't be able to get to. Let these kids figure out. They're the leaders of this society. They're the ones figuring out their direction. Shut the fuck up. Yeah, I'm sick of people my age. And the worst part is they know who they are. People my age who bitch about, oh, the you millennials, Generation X, and this, that, whatever. Like, our generation was that fucking great. No, I grew up, I didn't know I hated our generation, but I was not a happy Generation X. It is who I am, whatever, but there was a lot, and I mean a lot of areas of improvement as a member of the Generation X group. A lot of areas of improvement that these millennials, Gen Zs and all that, they figured out themselves. They figured out. They made improvement. Now, it's interesting how I went from, yes, I did have a moment of the good old days of being able to listen to music on a tape. But those days are gone. I've accepted that. It just makes hard to process an album. But I am embracing the future, even though it's a future that I won't be part of. The best you can do is help this generation make it to, give them what they need so they can make it like the same way. I don't know. I was going to say the same way we were given lessons, but sometimes I think, yeah, man, boomers didn't give a fuck. All boomers gave us was Jesus and more wars and debt and confusion and division. Let me look at my notes, right? Let's see, what else did I write here? I said, people are the kids. Oh, right, yeah. I'm just going to conclude with, I recommend, if you're someone my age, struggling with getting older, especially someone my age, no kids, no family, no, I won't say nothing to show for, but just like, you're not who society expected you to be. Like, all of us were supposed to be married, have kids. But I am going to take a line from J. Cole. All right. Love yours. I'm laughing at the combat. Yeah, love yours. Embrace what you got. I know that I remember telling myself as my late 30s, my 30s, and I wasn't sure whether this marriage thing was going to happen for me, but I did know that whatever state that I'm in, embrace it. Be grateful for it, because I don't want to be one of those people who get married and spend the rest of their life bitching about it. Oh, fuck this whore, this battle axe that I'm married about, that I'm married to. Blaming her for all my misery. So it's either, all I know, whatever journey I'm on, wherever I'm at, be grateful for it. And I can say that, like, I had this moment where I realized that I just planned two trips that involved getting on an airplane. And I found myself being grateful that I can do that. A, have the money to do it. B, time, opportunity. I can do it. I don't have to worry about some battle axe or some miserable kid that I know of. But daddy, you're supposed to help me with my book. Shut up, kid. Daddy needs to go to Vegas. I can just pick up and leave. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, I think, okay. So getting back to trying to conclude the article by self-acceptance. Well, let me read the full title. It goes, mouse is not working. With just three words, Oprah taught a powerful lesson in aging and self-acceptance. The media mogul is incredibly vibrant and joyful at 70. What's her secret? This three-word mantra. Sure, she's got a shitload of, you know, yeah, that's what sucks about this society. Yeah. The more money you have, the more getting old can be made enjoyable. I understand that. Fuck. So I guess what I'm saying doesn't really translate too well to people who are like, damn, that's just depressing. Being old and poor? Fuck. When I say poor, unable to purchase the more... Damn, I just depressed myself with this shit. Yeah, so I could preach about age and self-acceptance, but a lot of what makes this self-acceptance possible is the fact that I have a job that allows me to finance my... I was going to say wild, but my boring slash wild, my lifestyle. yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to tell people who don't have it like I do. I guess I should just hold on to the fact that be grateful that I have it like I do, that I'm in a position where I can reflect on aging and self-acceptance and process the idea that I am enough. All right, gang, I'm going to stop there. Damn, it's late. Okay, it's getting close to my curfew. Only reason it's a curfew is because, you know, I got to be at work tomorrow. Speaking of being able to pay for my lifestyle. Yeah, I got to get back on the plantation. So I'm going to conclude, and I'm just going to say this concludes today's episode. Now, I want to remind you that go to the show notes. The show notes is on the website, and there's four sections. The first three sections are the different acts of this podcast, and the last one is called Other Links. Other Links are articles that I've read previous to this episode that I could have talked about but chose not to, like this one about Canadian man killed providing aid in Gaza was military veteran with young son. Yo, that shit depressed me, man. The article both depressed me, it just made me mad. So instead of talking about it, I'll just let you read it for yourself. It's just a different effect. You know, man was just trying to help. And then, yeah. Anyway, so there's some shitty other links worth checking out. And I hope you enjoy it. With that said, I would very much appreciate if you really, you know, want to holler at me to some feedback. Feedback from you listeners. Because I know you're out there. At the very least, just send a message to with the word ping in it. And it's just your way of saying I won't follow up unless you want me to. But it's just your way of saying I hear you. You know when you're in the audience, when you're talking to someone, and just that nod your head, that nodding your head. Yeah, I just want that, right? I don't know, maybe some of you, because I know what it's like to be timid or overthink an email response, whether you like it or not, you know, overthink an email. So I'm just going to say, yo, just a simple message with the word ping. And if you don't want me, it's just for my own ego, okay? P-I-N-G, ping. To some computer nerd shit that you guys would understand. And it's just, I'm just going to interpret it as I hear you. And if you want me to follow up, just say, you know, just say so. But for now, I'm just going to assume that ping is just your way of saying, I'm listening. And I'll take it from there. If you happen to be hot, I'm going to assume that, you know, you're into me. And don't worry, I won't follow up. But I am going to tell my friends that, you know, you're trying to hit these skins. Is it men who hit these skins? But yeah, whatever. I'm going to brag about it. My point is I'm going to brag about it. I won't show your name and shit like that, but I am going to lie at the barbershop about the how my podcast I'm not going to call you groupies, but I'm going to use the word, you know, man, I'm going to lie, all right? I'm going to make up some kind of lie that's going to make me look good to the fellas at the barbershop, all right? But I won't use your name or show them your email. With that said, you can holler at me if you're one of the social media types. You can find me on Instagram, Threads, and Twitter using the handle @ShutUpPodcast. On TikTok, it's @ShutUpPodcast.com. But seriously, if you're for real, serious about reaching out to me on the internet. If you want to find me and my crew, go to shutuppodcast.com. And you can email me, or you can email me at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Yeah, so shutuppodcast, contact us. There's a contact plug. Or email me at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. As always, you can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website, or do whatever, or go about it your own way. Thank you for listening, seriously, brothers and sisters, and all in between. I hope I'm not being offensive by saying that. That's not my intention. I'm acknowledging there are more than two genders or two There are two sexes, but there's the gender expression that could be. It's up to you. So that's what I mean when I say boys and girls and everyone in between, men and women, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between. If that's not appropriate, please let me know. You know, fight back at shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. All right. Okay. For the last time, I swear. Thank you for listening. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for listening. And please remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I am your king now!